Angels of Advent series. Those biblical encounters with the angels that conveyed the message of the coming birth of the Christ child, of how God interacted with ordinary people, people just like you and me, to prepare the way of the Lord. On the first Sunday of Advent, we heard the story from Joseph's perspective. On the second Sunday of Advent, we heard the story from Zechariah and Elizabeth's perspective about the birth of John the Baptist. Today, on the third Sunday of Advent, we're going to explore Mary's side of the story, Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel. And next Sunday, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, which is also Christmas Eve this year, we'll hear about the proclamation of the birth of the Christ child given to the shepherds in the fields by the angels. Would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Now let's go back to Joseph and Zechariah for just a moment. Those two stories from the first and second Sundays of Advent are rather different from this one. Joseph is silent. He says nothing. He does what the angel says. He accepts the direction he's given and doesn't send Mary away due to her pregnancy. His is a tale of silent obedience, the obedience of faith. In Matthew, he has his dream, he gets up, he does what the angel says. Good boy, Joseph. Zechariah's encounter with the angel is very different from that. It would have helped him to have been as silent as Joseph, because all Zechariah does is whine. I'm too old. Elizabeth's too old. We can't have a child now. Whine, 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 whine. Doubt, 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 doubt. I'm a lot like Zechariah. Not like Joseph. If we're honest with ourselves, most of us are like Zechariah too. Where I should be more like Joseph, I'm actually a lot like Zechariah, especially the whining bit. And what happens? What happens to Zechariah? Since he likes running off at the mouth with whining doubts, he gets silenced by the angel and isn't allowed to speak until the baby, John the Baptist, is born. A little over 9 months later. Here in today's story of the Annunciation of the angel to Mary, we find a young girl with questions. At first, we might fear for Mary until we note that the questions are not whines. They're not doubts. They're not attempts to get out or to wiggle away from God's calling. Mary wants to know how. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The Greek phrase here is epiandra ou gnosko, literally, "How can this be, since I have not known a man?" She uses the Hebraic euphemism to know, or had sex with. Mary is very young. I don't think most of us really realize how young she was. She's often depicted as a grown woman based on artwork from Europe, especially since the Reformation. She's usually depicted as someone, a lady, in her 20s or even in her 30s. But the terms used for her and the terms she uses for herself and the cultural setting that she lived in and the times that she lived in tell us that she was probably about 12 to 14 years old, just capable, just barely capable of conceiving and having a child. She is fully aware of what she's done and what she's not done. She's been taught how babies come about, and she knows that she's not done any of that. So, how? It's not a question of doubt. Zechariah and Elizabeth had tried for years, no child. So understandably, Zechariah is doubtful, but not Mary. She just wants to know how. And look at the angel's response. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Now, there are several translational points in this single verse that we could focus on today. Words that give us a hint of what the angel might have meant with this response. But every time I read this, I keep coming back to the wording overshadowed. The Greek word is episkesai. It means to place something over or above, to cover or to protect or to shield or to overshadow. Right now, my hand is blocking the light and there's a shadow on the pulpit. My hand is episkesai, the light and the pulpit, coming between, overshadowing the pulpit from the light. In the story of the Transfiguration, when Jesus on Mount Tabor fluoresces with the light of God's glory shining through him like one of these stained glass windows, it says that a dense cloud descended upon the mountain, and Peter and James and John are engulfed by the cloud there on the mountain. And God speaks from that cloud and says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." The terminology used there is the same word that's used here, overshadowed. They were overshadowed. Peter, James, and John were overshadowed, as if to protect them from the glory shining forth from Jesus, as if to protect them from their own foolishness. Here, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit protects Mary, covers Mary, shields Mary, overshadows Mary. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. Mary's humanity, Mary's innocence, Mary's lack of having a husband, remember they weren't yet married, wasn't an impediment to her. Wasn't an impediment to her being able to be an agent for God. For God coming to her and working with her and through her and by her to bring Emmanuel, Yeshua, God with us, the Son of God into the world. She was perfectly good enough, just as she was. We pass by that way too quickly these days, forgetting that in the ancient world, women were property. They needed some guy to take care of them, some guy to speak for them, some guy to do business for them, to be in charge, but not here, not Mary. Mary is perfectly good enough, has sufficient agency, even as a 13 or 12-year-old girl, to make this decision, to cooperate with God, to accept God's will in her life. She's perfectly good enough, in and of herself, just as she is, for the angel to come to her and speak to her and say, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." These words are usually spoken to men in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures. Here they're spoken to Mary. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Or as our friends in the Roman Catholic Church will pray with the rosary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That's where it comes from. Mary was capable of being an agent of saying yes or no to God and God's calling on her life. Mary was given a choice. It was not a duty that was forced upon her. It was an opportunity that was offered to her. Then Mary said, Here I am. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. Let it be with me according to your word. What is God saying to you? What word is God speaking to you? How is God calling you to serve? Mary could have said no, but she said yes. Mary could have said, I don't think so, God. Thank you, but no thank you. I'm too young. I'm not from a good enough family. It's just too big of a job for me. But she didn't. She didn't do any of these things. She asked God, how would it become possible? And then she said, let it be with me according to your word. What would we have done? What will you do? Because you see, yes, indeed, God calls each of us to do something similar. We all have a similar calling, not to conceive and give birth to a literal baby Jesus. That was Mary's calling. But to conceive Jesus in the wombs of our hearts by faith and share his love, his way of life, his story, his forgiveness, his grace with all. One of my favorite icons, one of my favorite religious icons. You can see it in my office behind me and behind the desk. Is an icon of the Blessed Virgin Mary with Jesus, and her hand is offering Christ to us. This icon is a classic historic Our Lady of St. Vladimir. It was painted for me by a dear friend of mine who at the time had been a Roman Catholic iconographer. He became a Methodist, and now he is a priest of the Church of England. He's had a long journey. Dominic's had a very long journey. He's still an icon writer. This beautiful icon hangs there. Every time I see it, I'm reminded that just as Mary offered Jesus to a broken and hurting world, a world struggling in darkness and desiring the light of God's love, so also we are called to offer the love of Christ, the love of God, the love of the Christ child to a broken and hurting world. We have lots of things to push out of the way. We have lots of doubts. We have lots of reasons to whine. We have lots of concerns, all of which can sometimes get in the way of our hearing the calling, of our seeing Mary offering us Christ and our calling to offer Christ to others. We have a lot of distractions to hearing what the angels, what the messengers of the Almighty are saying to us today. So being willing to listen with ears and minds and hearts of faith becomes critically important. Mary listened with faith, and Mary accepted God's calling. How will we listen? Will we listen with faith? Will we accept God's calling to us? As we move now towards the fourth Sunday of Advent, as the preparations become more critical, as the last-minute shopping and the wrapping of presents comes front and center, as Christmas moves onto our horizons, will we be ready to listen, to receive,
and to share God's love with all? Are we ready? Are we ready yet to conceive Jesus in the wombs of our hearts by faith? In a world that is struggling and fighting, filled with hatred and anger, bigotry and deceit, pain and fear, hungering and thirsting, desire for power and control. In a world torn by war, by division, and by sin, are we ready to breach through the darkness with faith so that the world may see the great light of Jesus the Christ and know the joy that the hope for peace and love brings? Are we ready yet? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, in your